Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. Will you just close your eyes right now? I want us to take a few moments. I want you to just to picture yourself standing at the foot of the cross. As our team keeps playing that song, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to give you a mental picture of that cross and what Jesus did for us. When I see that cross, I see Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of us right now. When I see that cross, I see you, Jesus, hanging there. The crown of thorns, the nails in your hands and feet, brutally beaten. The wounds, the scars, the humiliation. It is beautiful because you did it for me. My soul can rejoice. My spirit can rejoice. Jesus. We'll sing "When I See That Cross." Make it your prayer tonight. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. Oh yeah. From death to life, I will see. Come on, make that your prayer. Sing it. When I see that cross,
I see that cross, I see freedom.
When I see
that grave, I see Jesus. From death to life,
one. When I see that cross,
I see that cross, I see
oh yeah,
I see that grave, I see Jesus. From death to life, I will sing praise
in the wonder of your name. My soul, sing your praise in the wonder of your name. Father, we love you. We love you so much, Father, and we thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to lift up our voice. And Lord, I pray that you continue to make each and every one of us in this room worshipers. Lord, worship, Lord, it's our passion. It's why we were designed and created. Lord, I'm not going to let someone else take my place and worship you. Because, Lord, when I worship you, the experience that I have on the inside is unmatched to anything this world can provide. When I'm having a hard time, when I'm facing a trial, Lord, I know I can worship you. I can lift up my hands, lift up my voice, and I can find refuge and safety. I can run to you, for you are my strong tower. And Lord, I pray that you continue to make this church filled with Christ followers who understand the power that's in their voice, the power that's in their praise, the power that they hold as worshipers of the Almighty, the one and only Almighty God. And Lord, tonight we give you praise in Jesus' name. Yeah, won't you put your hands together tonight for Jesus? Lord, we honor you and glorify you. Come on, y'all can do better than that. You know, we're singing that song, And I wrote the line down because I knew I'd forget it, so I wrote it down. It says, who can stop the Lord Almighty? And whenever Pastor Chris said that, I instantly said, me. And that's the truth about every one of us individually. You want to know what can stop the works of God in your life? Take the finger and do a U-turn. Go right back to you. Every problem that I face, I'm just about 100% the problem. And there's a scripture that I'm going to do a message series on really soon. If I can open up my phone, here we go. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able, he's able. You know God is able, right? He's able to do, I'll take just more. But he says immeasurably more. We'll put that on. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we, and we started off this year with a sermon series called Ask. And I believe a lot of us ask, we ask, but I believe this is where the lid comes in right here. What can stop the Lord Almighty? I believe it's our imagination. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So that applies to us. Now, whenever you ask for something and you imagine yourself with that which you've asked, if it is God's will for your life, and you don't get it when you think you need it, then you'll stop imagining. Imagination is dreaming and thinking, how will it be with this? Before this building, before we even purchased this property, I imagined myself preaching on this stage right here. I knew how this building was going to look. And I've currently been challenged by the Holy Spirit to continue to imagine for our Springdale and Fayetteville campus and campus 3, 4, 5, and 6. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? It's the lid that I put on myself. Most of the lids that we have are self-imposed. Oh, you can't do that. You can't. You can't. You're right. I can't. Boom, and I put a lid on myself. Oh, you can't do that. I'll come to church and I'll worship God, but that's it. I can't lead. I can't tithe. It's kind of like going to the health club and telling a trainer that you pay to train you, all right, here's the deal. I don't do cardio. I don't do legs, or I don't run. Okay, help me out. No, that's not how it works. And often I find that Christians come into church with that. Oh, God, I can't, because remember way back in the day, this guy told me that, and this person who was a mentor told me this, and that's just a lid. That's a lid. I can't do this. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to imagine again, amen. It's time for us to start dreaming again about our life, our family, where we know God wants us to be. Because he is able to do more than we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. I don't know about you, but I want immeasurably more. Amen. Father, we thank you that you're going to begin to remove the lid off of each and every one of us. Be it something physically or emotionally, maybe a poor decision I made, or maybe even a self-imposed lid that I listened and heard someone else's word about me. Or maybe it was just the enemy that lied to me and said that I wasn't, or this could not happen. Lord, I pray right now, you take the lid off of each and every one of us. And Lord, we're going to continue to ask. We're going to ask you to do miracles in our life, physically, mentally, emotionally. And you will do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Lord, I pray that you fill this church filled with godly imagination. What our life will be when this happens. Not if, but when. Lord, because this is your will, and your will is your word, and you are forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Won't you find you a seat real quick? Pastor Zach, could you take this from me? Thank you. I love it when the keyboard plays behind me. I get real emotional, you know. But that's all right. We're gonna go on anyway. They're gonna pull this up here, and we'll put it somewhere right over here. There we go. I want to challenge us tonight with a word that we have really been walking through as a staff, as a team, weekly since the beginning of the year. And we are definitely seeing it more clear than ever. And, you know, seasons are good. Seasons have to happen. If you're going to have a season where a tree or a garden is fruitful, it has to have the season before and the season before. I love watching my trees grow. I have different trees around my house. I have some non-bearing cherry Canadian trees. Love them. I've got some river birch trees. I've got some oak trees. And then I've got probably about 15 trees of acorns that I brought back from Amsterdam in the Netherlands that I have, germinated. And now they're about 4 foot tall. And they're all in my backyard. And they're all pinned off because my dog likes to eat trees. And he likes trees about that size. But in order to have a good spring, there has to be a couple of seasons before. And one thing that I have learned over the years as a pastor, as a Christ follower, as a husband, as a dad, I've had to really engage and lean in and interpret the seasons. All right, what season are we in? What season are we in as parents? What season are we in our relationship with my wife and I? What season am I in? As a Christian, what is God doing in me? And then we get down to what is God doing in the church? What is God doing in the staff? What's the season? And one of the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to me at the beginning of the year was transition. That's just one of them. We have had the opportunity to send out Pastor Spencer and Ellen Beach, who have taken over a church in Huntsville, Alabama. Amazing leaders. We're so excited for them. Two Sundays from this coming Sunday, we're going to have a going away party for them right here at this campus, and I would invite everyone that knows them to come and be a part of that. Pastor Jordan, is that at 6:30? Or does anyone know? Y'all figure that out and so we can tell everybody. 6:30, I think it's the 21st, right? Let's double check with that. But I knew we were in some transition, so that was some of the things we were looking at. And anytime you have a transition, during a transition, if there's things you need to change, that's a good time to change it, all right? And change is painful. None of us like change, right? And we try to do whatever we can to eliminate pain. We want to push away from pain. We don't like pain. But anytime you change and you want to change for the better, there's going to be some type of pain. No pain, no gain. And I knew this would be a great time for us to transition. So we're having a lot of organizational changes in how the organization of Key Point Church has been ran. We have changed our organizational charts, if you will, so it could be more of a scalable model. It was not a very healthy model. It was good for a church of 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,000, but it's not going to be scalable for a church of 10 to 15 to 20,000. So now I knew this was a great time to do that. And in doing that, in this season, we have been implementing and solidifying our foundation. Walking up to the front of my house, there is a part of my sidewalk that obviously the foundation below it is sinking because there's a little sinkhole in my yard, and then the concrete is cracking and shifting and so forth. So something up under there must be decaying, the ground sinking, and hopefully it's not running up under the rest of my house, because a firm foundation is very important to building something that's scalable and sustainable on top, right? And one of the parables that Jesus talked about uses as an example, the wise person built upon a solid foundation. So this season for us has been a time where we have been asking painful questions. We've been asking questions that have been bringing us to the truth. And sometimes the truth is not what we want to see, but we know we need to see it. Otherwise, we'll just keep our head in the sand and we'll just stay the same. But we want to change. We want to grow, right? Everybody say amen, all right? As a church, I believe it's a mandate that we grow. It is a mandate. If something is not growing, it is dying, all right? I'll prove it to you. Go home, open up a can of bush beans, heat it up, eat you a little bit, and then turn that flame off and let that pot sit there for about 5 days and go back and look at those bush beans after about 5 days. What's going to happen to it? It's going to be decaying. It's going to be gross. And if we're not growing, then we are declining, and we do not want to decline as a church. This past Easter was our largest Easter services we've ever had. Over 3,000 people, the most people that have ever come to the Lord. This past Sunday, we had 35 people get water baptized. Of the 35, I believe it was 16 that spontaneously got water baptized. Amen? Yeah. And we've never done water baptism like that. And I've got to tell you, Sunday morning, I was nervous, as my pastor used to say it, as a tick on a bloodhound, all right? I was nervous. Because you just don't imagine all the moving parts that it takes for a one-hour service to take place. And man, we're involving water next to the stage. Man, this could get crazy. And then spontaneously open it up and allow, man, in Springdale, as I'm up there, we're leading worship, a guy got out of his chair, he walked up, and as he walked by the stage, he looked at me and he went like that and walked up, flipped off his shoes and just went right into the water baptism. I'm like, yep, I mean, clothes and all. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And this guy just gave his heart to Christ about 2 or 3 months ago, just finished Starting Point with Pastor Kenny and his team down there. It is a true conversion that we saw with this guy and this family. I just sat there thinking, all right, this is it right here. And we're going to see that happen much, much more, amen? Because here's why. Whenever you begin to understand the season that, you know what, now it's time to prune, it's time to cut back, it's time to fertilize, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing in our church, you're going to see something in 3 to 6 to 12 months that you're going to like, amen? And anytime you take care of the foundation, and you go back to the core, and you go to the fundamentals, and you get it right, man, you'll be able to build championship teams on top of that. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing. They're necessary. They're necessary. In Isaiah chapter 54, I want you to turn there with me, and you can go to YouVersion. We have the notes tonight on YouVersion. Does anyone not know what YouVersion is? Raise your hand if you do not. If you don't, that's okay. That's okay, raise your hand if you don't. All right. YouVersion is an app that you can download. It is my Bible, basically. It's what I read every day. I have it on my iPad, I have it on my laptop, and I have it on my phone. And you can go on the bottom right-hand corner. There's a button that says More. You can click on it, and then you can hit Events, which is three from the top. And there it is, Key Point Church. It will pick up all the live events that are happening. So on Sunday morning, you can follow our notes along. So right now, you can click on that. Boom, and it says baptism. Sorry, that must be the wrong one. I thought they were supposed to have it up. Jordan, can you go check on that? They were supposed to have that up. But anyway, you can follow that along every Sunday morning and get all our notes, and hopefully we'll have that in a moment. But I want to teach tonight for a few minutes on strengthening your stakes. Not like meat stakes, but your stakes that holds in the tent, okay? In Isaiah chapter 54, this is a turning point. This was a season that the children of Israel, that the Hebrew church was coming out of. They were coming out of Babylonian captivity. And Isaiah, he likens the captivity of God's people to a barren woman. And you have to understand that when he says the barren woman, they carried enormous load of shame and grace, because it was a highlight of a lady's life to bear children. And for a woman to be bearing, it was shameful. And this is how he was explaining the children of Israel and the church at that time, because they were in captivity, and now they were coming out of captivity. And the season was changing. Something was about to happen. Seeing barren woman, verse 1, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. All right? They're coming out of captivity. God promised liberation from not only the exile and captivity, but also he promises, and this is a great promise to you and I today, he promises to deliver us from shame and guilt and anything associated with that. Amen? So many people struggle with shame and disgrace and humiliation, and God wants to set you free from that. You do not have to struggle from that. God will set you free from it. And now Israel is about to step into a very fruitful time, and they would have to expand their living space. Write this down. God is into expanding and enlarging your life. He is. Right now, where you are, I know sometimes you think, oh, I can't, there's no way. A lot of shame, a lot of disgrace. Why would God want to do that? Well, he does. And this is what Isaiah said in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Everybody say enlarge. Enlarge. Stretch your tent curtains wide. The curtains, they think of a tent. The curtain was the roof. It brought protection. He says, stretch your tent curtains wide. And here's the follow-up with that. And don't hold back. In other words, there's a lot of people outside that need to come into the safety of the tent, of the house. But at the current size of the house, that can't happen. So get ready. We're gonna lengthen our curtains. We're gonna put more fabric to the roof line, if you will. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. The cords are what holds the frame together. And this is where the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is exactly where we are as a church, right here at the last part. And strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. The very thing that you drive in the ground and you tie the cords to that hold this building up. Because you can have it, and if your stakes aren't strong enough in the ground and they aren't deep enough, then if a wind comes along and you've stretched your curtain out, then it's going to blow away. So at the same time as you lengthen your curtains and your cords, we've got to strengthen. In other words, we're going to prepare more rooms and space, and we're going to strengthen the foundation. And when it comes to Key Point Church, that has to do with our organization. That has to do with the underpinning, if you will, the systems, the process. And if you've ever been in business, maybe you started with a small company, you have a system in place, you have a process, then all of a sudden you have a growth time, a season, and that same system that ran a company of maybe 5 people cannot handle a company of 100 people. So you have to put in a different system and policies and direct connects, and or it's going to bottleneck. There's going to be paralyzation in the leadership, and then everyone's going to run around and just be task driven. What do I have to do today? And there'll be one boss that just tells everybody, "You go do this, you go do that, you go do that, go do that," and there won't be anyone dreaming, no one having imagination about what God could do. So we're strengthening our stakes. And he has been adding to our overall curtain. He has. Our church has been growing. I believe we have just scratched the surface. I believe that God has so much more that he wants to do. That's why we have been preparing the foundation, preparing for growth. And the bottom line is, he will only give you what you can handle. And as a church, that is my prayer. Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen our leadership, the culture that we have at this church. And that's some of the process that we've been walking through over the last several months. And let me give you a few of them. And if this sounds redundant, then it is, because vision leaks. And I can't assume that you know this stuff as much as I do. This is my life every day. You don't live in this, and I understand that. But I want you to get this. And this has been recirculated over the last several months, and we have been redefining it. And there's 7 columns, if you will, of a solid foundation. And I'm going to give you the 7 of them tonight. The first one is mission. Several months ago, we had the opportunity to come in contact with a gentleman by the name of Philip Klein. He was the systems and the process of an amazing church called Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the probably most influential churches in the world now. And they were started a little over 10 years ago. thousands of people in this church. They went from like 200 people to several thousand people overnight, and then tens of thousands of people, and then multiple campuses. And it was a very young pastor, and it was the average age of the pastors and leaders on the staff were like 25 years old. And they were, there was no building in North Carolina that could, in Charlotte, that could hold them. I mean, they were exploding. So this pastor was smart enough to hire this guy, Philip. And Philip, before he went into the ministry, was involved in a lot of cable company acquisitions, and his background was cable companies and such, and was a very, very high in cable companies, and now he knew that God wanted to use him. Well, at the beginning of the year, God introduced me to this man, and he only works by word of mouth. He does not advertise. He's no longer on staff at Elevation. He does private church consulting, and I had an interview with him on the phone, and he said, "Man, I love your heart. I love your passion. I want to help you out." I'm like, "All right, what you want to do?" He said, "Well, we want to first come in and do a secret audit of your church." And I thought, "Really? Dang it! I knew you were going to say that." Once again, there's things you think are happening that maybe not are happening, and vice versa. And they came in. I didn't tell anybody on my staff. Nor did I didn't announce it to anyone. I think maybe Pastor Spencer and Pastor Jordan and my wife were the only people that knew. And they came in, and they interviewed my entire staff, leaders. They came to every service, and then they got together Sunday night and all day Monday, and Tuesday presented this audit to me. I left that meeting that night. I felt like I had a concussion, all right? Because sometimes you think you're doing it good, you know, and they're like, "Well, you know what? You're good, but you're not that good, you know. You just need someone to come in." And in order for you to get better, you need to have someone that can come in with a critical eye that you trust, that knows it has your heart, and says, "Hey, this is good, but this is not." And they gave us an extensive list, but then what they do, they come back around and they said, "All right, here's some of the things you need to work on." And the first thing they said, you need to have a more clearly defined mission. Some of the people that were very close to me didn't even know what our mission was as a church, and that's my fault. So all these problems turned back to me, and I knew it. And it's like, you know what? Let's go for it. We're going to change this thing. So our mission, and they asked a lot of people what our mission was, and they came up with all the different things that people said our mission was, and it was kind of close, but there wasn't any clarity to it. So now our mission is to what? Reach people to experience life in Jesus. Y'all got that? Our mission as a church, our mission is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. Our mission is to reach people. And a mission is why you exist, all right? It's why you exist. This is, once again, Matthew 28, 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." This was the great commission that Jesus gave. This was their mission. Here is your mission. Now, I'm going to help you understand this, and I want you to see it as the destination. So our mission is the destination. This is where we're going as a church. It's our mission. Please excuse me. I do not write that well, especially on a whiteboard, all right? Y'all see that? Destination. That's our mission. This is why we exist. Then the second part to the foundations, there are our beliefs. And here at Key Point Church, you can tell people we believe in everything from Genesis to the maps, and we handle snakes on every fifth Sunday. It's awesome. Bring your own water moccasin. I told a guy that one time. I love it whenever people, "Well, tell me about your church." And there's a lot of things that people say that are kind of code for other things they want to know about. "So tell me about your church, brother." And "Well, what do you want to know?" "Well, what is your belief on this?" And boy, that just sends up red flags when people start asking about all that stuff. And so basically they want to know your belief to see if it lines up with their belief, to see if they're going to even think about coming to your church. You know, so I just say, "Well, man, we believe in everything from Genesis to the maps." And I told him that, and he kind of chuckled. And I said, "And on the fifth Sundays, we handle snakes." He thought I was serious. And I held it in for a little bit. I'm like, man, I'm just kidding. We don't. You know. He's like, oh, thank God. Huh? You're crazy, you know. But your belief is it's the road. It's the road that you take that will get you to your destination. Here's the road, all right? It's your belief system. And we have that exclusively on our website. You can go and read that. You know, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in water, but you know, all that, all right? That's our beliefs. This is a strong foundation. The third one is governance. We have a strong government here at this church. This is how we're held accountable. This would be the speed limit on which we travel down this road, because our goal is to get to our destination safe, right? That is your goal, right? So the government helps us. The government provides limits and it protects us so we don't do 120 miles an hour down the road and fall over the rails, all right? That's our government. It's amazing how it works. The government is here to serve us. We're not here to serve the government. And I know a lot of churches have governments that just really mess the church up. We have a very healthy government structure here at our church. They're in place to protect us. We have a ministry team, which is led by myself and our pastoral staff, and many of them are here tonight. Then we have a board of trustees. Andrew is here. Raise your hand, Andrew, over here. He's one of our board of trustees. I have two more, Kent Moore. He is a doctor here in town. He is out of town. And then we have one in Springdale, Randy Jackson. He's serving on our board of trustees. Then I have a board of overseers, all right? So we have a healthy government. Now, here's where it gets good. Here's the fourth one. It's our values. Our values. And this is how we behave. This is extremely important. Very, very important. This is how we behave. And our values, we had them up there. We had six, and we added a seventh one, but we've changed how we say them because our values weren't actionable. Our values, it didn't move anybody, if you will, all right? So your value is your lane marker. So basically, this is what we value at this church. This is who we are. Now, different churches have different values. Some churches, they value Christian education, so they have a Christian school. Some churches, they value sports, so they have facilities to manage all that stuff. They value that. And values create culture, and culture creates behavior. And anytime you can present, all right, this is who we are. For example, the Hennigans, these are our values. What does that do? It creates a culture which gives us the proper behavior. You look at anyone that has the wrong behavior, they probably don't have values. And this is our lane. This is who we are. This is the lane that we're going down. Here's another church over here. Hopefully their mission is the Great Commission. Here's another one over here. But this is what we do. This is how we behave. In other words, all right? This is how we behave. And every organization has them, whether they are stated or not. And our goal or our behaviors come from what we believe, and those beliefs stem from fundamental core values, all right? Let's go through them real quickly. First one is Jesus is our key. Jesus is our key. Jesus is our key. People are our point. Worship is our response. Anybody? Anybody? Number four. All right. Remember, Sunday, if you know all seven of them and stand up, you are going to get a gift card to either Chick-fil-A or Starbucks. So you may want to memorize these. Jesus is our key. We're created to live Christ-centered lives. A lot of people were misinterpreting the name of our church as our mission. That's the name of our church is Key Point Church. Jesus is the key. It's basically kind of a motto. So we took that and we incorporated it in our values because we want to make sure we are teaching everyone to live a Christ-centered life. Amen? I need a better amen right there. A Christ-centered life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus answered. He cleared it all up. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our key. Colossians 1 and verse 17 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. In other words, you take Jesus out of your life, and we've all been there before where we had Jesus and seemed like things just kind of, oh, wow, okay. I took Jesus out, and it's like we just fell apart. You take Jesus out, and things just seem to unravel. Number two, people are our point. All people matter to God. All people matter to God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And here's the different areas. This is all people. Jerusalem, that's my home. In all Judea, that's my backyard. Samaria, that's the United States and the ends of the earth. That's the world. At Key Point Church, we're going to focus on those who are near to God, and we're going to focus on those who are far from God. All people matter to God. All people matter to God, so they matter to us. That is one of our guiding values that creates the behavior. Here's a behavior that I would love for us to begin, not love, but I want you to begin to act like, all right? We know the story of the prodigal son. He wanted to go and live his own way. He goes out, he takes his inheritance, and he does whatever he wants. The father lets him go. Here's a behavior that I want us to be able to operate or have when it comes to church. Because behavior speaks of a value. When the prodigal son came to his senses and started coming back, where was his father? Waiting for him. I want us to have the behavior of the prodigal son's father. So when I go to church, it's not I'm just going to church to volunteer in the nursery and keep a three-year-old. But I'm going to church today because I'm going to have the spirit of the Father. And when that lady comes to church or that family comes to church and they drop their three-year-old child off to me and they're under my care, I'm going to be able to say, we are so glad you're here. We have been waiting for you. And there's that behavior. There's that value. You matter to me. And once again, there's things that speak if I matter to you or not. You think about that in your marriage. Your spouse can pick up on it quick. You don't have to say anything. And we want to make sure everything we say here at this church, when people's tires hit the asphalt, when they drive up, that they're getting the value of the prodigal son's father. You matter to us. We are so glad you're here. We have been preparing for this service all week long. You're not going to leave the same. You see the value there? People matter. All people matter. It's the why behind the what that I want us to get as leaders of this church. The why behind the why do we have ushers? Why do we have greeters? Why? All right, for example, I made them put these white things up right here. You want to know why? Because we're about to start doing a distraction-free environment in this room. And let me tell you what that means. It means whenever you come into 8:30 service, there's, let's say, 200 adults, and they're all spread out, and there could be one person on a row by themselves. What we want to do is create more of an energy, push people in a certain area, and it speaks this value. Hey, you matter to me. Hey, it's good to see you. Glad you're here. And the room is distraction-free. That's what we're trying to communicate. If you have a child, put them where they need to go. Because there could be someone here for the first time, and you've been praying for them, and they finally show up. They call you up and say, I'm coming to church today. And they come in the parking lot on two wheels, it's barely on time, and they run in here and drop the kids off and with Kelly and her team, and they come in here and they're like, and they're just blown away with worship, and they sense the presence of God, and they're hearing an anointed message, and all of a sudden something happens and a distraction happens over here to the side. And what do they do? What's everybody do? They look, oh, what happened over there? Ooh, what's going on? So what we want to try to, and we're figuring this out as we go, we're going to create with our ushers a distraction-free environment, because people matter. People matter. Here, worship is our passion. Worship is our passion, and we express our love towards God through worship every day and in many ways. It's not just something we do for 15 minutes before a service, but it's my life. John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. I love this one, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I wrote this down because this is so true. I don't have time to go into it, but worship equals winning. You're feeling defeated in your life, you go and put on a worship's, I was going to say CD, but I don't even know what those are anymore. Eight-track. You go and you turn on some worship music and you begin to worship God. The enemy hates that. He hates it. Worship equals winning. That's why worship is my passion. It's my passion. I want to have a church filled with worshipers, people who know how to worship God with all their heart. Community is our design. Life is best lived in a faith-filled community. You're innately designed by God to have a need for him and have a need for others. You can worship God and connect in your need with him, but you'll only be half as good because you have to have somebody else. God did not create Lone Rangers, all right? He created people to live in community. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's about pursuing relationships, and I would encourage you to get in a life group. That's important to us. Get in a life group. Get into a community of believers that can help you and sharpen you. Faith is our response. It's not, it's about dreaming big and asking boldly. I love that. I'm a dream big and I'm going to ask boldly. I'm going to ask boldly of God. Sometimes I think we ask very timidly, but we're going to respond in faith. Something I'm dealing with right now with in my life, and I was reminded of it, and I instantly just downgraded my faith and said, oh, well, we won't be able to do it like that. And the Holy Spirit quickly challenged me to respond in faith. Respond in faith, and faith says, I can. And faith is what moves the heart of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is my response. Amen? When the enemy comes to you and says you're not good enough or you'll never be that. No, faith is my response. We're going to respond in faith. Then number six, generosity is my norm. It's our norm. We're going to be generous and we're going to steward wisely. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Generosity, generous with the finances that God has given us, generous with the gifts that he's given us. We're gonna be generous. It's just a norm to me. It's my norm. It's a normal part of my life. In fact, if it was taken away, then I would not be normal. It is normal to be generous, because it is much better to give than it is to receive. And then here's the last one, and it's serving is our privilege. It's a privilege. I'm going to sit on this one for a little bit, because I believe one of the cultures that we need to upgrade at this church is a leadership culture. We want to infuse leadership in this church, because in order for us to be the church that we know God wants us to be, we have to have a lot more leaders. We have to have a lot more kingdom builders, those who are helping us advance the kingdom of God down the field. Now, of course, we have a lot more than this, all right? Some couldn't make it here, so for whatever reasons. But we need to multiply this area. And this is a passion of ours. This is definitely one of our points of interest, where we know that it's going to take some pain. It's going to take some hard work to create this culture of leadership in our church, of serving, all right? And we are most like Jesus when we serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was amazing at this. He took 12 men. Some were ordinary, some were a little bit more educated than others. He took 12 men and he made them into something that they were not. He made them. So in order to make something, you have to start with something. And obviously Jesus saw in these 12 disciples something. He saw something in Peter. He saw something in Andrew. He saw something in James. And he said, hey, come here. If you give me that, I'm going to make you into something that you're not. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this church. And here's the big idea. Here's why it's a privilege. Because every person who serves here is preaching a message. Please hear me, all right? The sermon starts whenever people's tires hit this property. That's when the sermon starts. And life can be hard for people. Sometimes it's a battle, it's a struggle just to get to church. And when they drive onto our parking lot, I want you to think about serving in a different way. Imagine those working in the parking lot. And that's why we want to have just dozens of men and women out there working the parking lot. Why is it? Is it to make sure the cars are parked? Yes, but here's the why behind the what. Because there may be a family, and there will be a family, that shows up at the 8:30 service, and they're hurting, and they're hopeless, and they're hanging on with a thin thread. And if they pull into the parking lot, and they see people out there raising their hands going, we're glad you're here. Come on, park right here, park right here. How are you? And open up their door and say, can I walk you in the church? You are at the best place you could be. Imagine how their heart would be conditioned to hear what God was going to say. Come on, I need a better amen than that right there. The message starts when they start driving onto the campus. That's why we're having a parking lot team. The why behind the what. I don't want to just say, hey, parking lot team, park cars. Don't let any wrecks happen, all right? But it's, hey, parking lot team, guess what? You're the first person that person's going to see. You see how big that job is now? They're not just parking cars. You know, I mean, they are parking cars for a reason. They're parking cars for a reason. They come in. Dennis and his team open the door for them. Landon and his team greet him and usher him. Hey, how many of you? You have five? You have four? We got the perfect place for you. Come on up here. Oh, and you have the nursery coordinators, Becca and Jen. Your kid's gonna. Don't worry about your child. We got him today. We got him. Kelly, we got him today. We got him. And you go back and pick up your kids, and they're like, man, Mom, that was incredible. Oh, my Jesus. And you check out your kid from the nursery, and they're like, oh, we love you. Your kid was amazing today. And I tell them they have to lie, you know, even if they're not. I'm kidding. But you see, there's a purpose behind that. There's a reason. They come up to the front. There's a prayer team. There's a hospitality team. There's greeters and ushers. And as they drive away, people are going, hey, we'll see you next week. That's why we have the little signs as you go out. Hey, honk if you love Jesus. Have a great week. We love you. Because as they exit, they're reading a message. They're hearing the same message over and over. We love you. Imagine that person that week whenever they leave. Wow, that was the best experience I've ever had. Well, what did the pastor speak on? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. My kids loved it. Well, what's their beliefs? Are they this? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what. They're the happiest church. The people actually liked me there. What? Here at Key Point Church, we're not just doing church. We're having church. That means, please hear me, that every person is on mission playing their part. And without you, someone's experience won't be as good. So I'm asking you to join with me to pray for more leaders. Jesus even said it. Hey guys, the harvest is ripe. Look, here they come. They're coming. And he was actually pointing to a group of people that were coming from Samaria. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are what few. And over the next several months, and until we go to see Jesus, we're going to be a church that infuses leadership, all right? You cannot outgrow your level of leadership. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm committed, and more than ever before, to be the leader that God has called me to be and remove every lid, maybe that I've put on myself or maybe the enemy has. I'm going to be the man that God has called me to be, and I invite you to come and let's be a church that reaches people. Amen. All right, let's go back. All right, systems, thank you. Systems, this is the car. And I actually practiced this today. You want a good laugh? So I'm going to draw a truck, all right? It's like a 1980 model Chevrolet pickup truck, all right? Big old front. There you go. Y'all laughing, but y'all thinking, he's doing a lot better than me. You got a bumper. And I even did this right here, KC lights. Boom! This is the system. This is what we do. It's how we are organized to reach our goals in the shortest amount of time. We want to do more by doing less. And more than ever before, as our church is only 12 years old, we feel like we are getting the right systems in place. I feel like I have been building a piano with a chainsaw. I'll be honest with you. And that can be frustrating. But I'm not a quitter, and I figure things out. It may take me a long time, but I figure them out, and we make it better. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has put the right tools in my hands when it comes to systems and strategy. Now, our system is something we've had, and we're redefining it, and we're going to connect people. We're going to help them grow. We're going to help them serve, and we're going to help them give. So connect, grow, serve, and give. That's the system. So connect is the front door. That could be through the student ministry. That could be playing on the worship team. That could be a starting point. Have y'all noticed over the last several months we've been talking about starting point? That's very important to us. Anyone you come in contact with, you need to ask them, hey, have you gone through starting point? Well, what is it? Oh, it's a four-week class. You need to go through it. Pastor Jason is leading it. It is an on-ramp into our church. We want to get them connected, and then it's the front door to the house, and the rest of the room, we want them to grow, we want them to serve, and we want them to give. So reaching people is the connect part. Experiencing life in Jesus is the grow, serve, and give. Then we have our strategy. This is how we succeed, how we will succeed and accomplish the mission. And this is the tires on it, all right? There you go. There's the tires. I'll draw some really cool tires. There you go. Don't laugh, Zach. Those are really cool right there, all right? And once again, our strategy is we want to get people connected. It could be through our student ministry, worship on the weekends, whatever it might be. Then we're going to grow. That's our children's ministry, our student ministries, our life groups, freedom, and so forth. And then we want them to serve. That's kingdom builders and outreach. So anytime you hear kingdom builders, that's anybody in our church that's serving, that's actually speaking a message. That's we work in the nursery or singing on the stage or part of a setup or tear down crew or some kind of team that's helping this church operate. That's the tires that keep us going. Then we have vision, which we do not have, which we don't have a short of around here, all right? Sometimes I feel like I have much more vision than my car can handle, and that's when you really, really get in trouble. And I'm making sure we have the right foundation, the right car, because the vision is the fuel that keeps you going whenever you hit difficult times. It's the fuel. It keeps you from stalling out. And this past weekend was fuel for me to incorporate water baptism into our service, which speaks to salvation, which talks about a process. That was fuel. I got home Sunday, and man, it was just, I wanted to continue doing church like that. Wasn't it amazing? Wow. I mean, it just grew. 8:30 was amazing. 10 o'clock in Springdale was amazing. 11:30, it was just, people kept coming up and getting water baptized. There was a kid in the 11:30 service, he goes to Bentonville West, plays basketball, and he comes limping over here to the water baptism. They had to pick him up and put him in the baptismal. His name is Kobe. young black black young man who plays basketball, one of their best players. And obviously he had a problem. And I stopped the whole thing. I said, let's pray for Kobe right now. They told me his name, and we all as a church prayed for him, prayed healing over his life. I thought, wow. And of course, Pastor Chris Deerberger, our youth pastor, connected with his mom, and they're probably coming to our student ministry tomorrow night. Connected right there, amen? That's vision right there. So there's the seven parts of our foundation. We know where we're going more than ever before. We know the road. We've got our pathway. Our path has been defined. We know the speed that we're going to go at. And more than ever before, I feel like we have the proper vehicle to get us where we need to go. We are going to be a church that reaches more people. Amen. And I want to invite you to continue praying with me and asking God to send laborers to Key Point Church. And when I say laborers, let me context that for you. We're praying for people that can come in, and they're there. They can come in and put their hands on the plow and go, hey, where do you need me to work? What do you need me to do? Now, of course, most of the time it's not like that. So the second step to that is helping us train leaders and be leaders of leaders. Leaders of leaders who lead leaders. And when we start seeing that, I'm telling you, we're going to be able to do more as a church than we've ever done before, okay? Let's stand to our feet tonight as we close. Once again, thank you for being here. I am so grateful and honored that you would carve out some time of your night to come and be a part of this. And I know many of you are like, we love it, PC. Well, I want a lot more people like you, all right? I do. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that would give their heart to Christ if we continue to have the right leadership in place. So let's pray. Will you just raise your hands up a little bit? And if you need something in your life, if there's something that you need to receive of the Lord right now, I just want to ask you right now, just to ask the Lord, I need you right here. I need you in my heart. I need you in this area of my life. I need you maybe in my finances, in my own personal life, in my mind, in my heart, or maybe this child or this family. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful to us. And you hear the prayers and the petitions of the righteous, and we're righteous because of what your son did for us. And Lord, tonight I thank you that you hear our cry. And Lord, you're faithful to us, and they're yes and amen. So Lord, we present those to you, and we trust in you. We respond in faith when the enemy comes and says no, when he says there's going to be lack, when he says we're going to continue going down the deep end. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're going to say no. And Lord, our faith is going to rise up, and we're going to begin to say yes to the things of God in our life. Lord, I pray you do a miracle in our church. Continue to do a miracle. Miracle in heart. Save people, Lord. Lord, save people at this church. Let every Sunday morning be an opportunity for people to receive Jesus Christ, to receive healing in their soul, in their heart, in their bodies, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are doing something amazing in each and every one of us. I'm so proud. I'm so excited, so honored to have such an amazing church. And Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Our mission is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. Our seven values are: Jesus is our key, people are our point, worship is our passion, community is our design, faith is our response, generosity is our norm, and serving is our privilege. I'm going to give myself a gift card tonight, all right? We got to know that. That creates the behavior of this church, all right? Have a fantastic night. We love you. Is there anything I need? What's the dates for Pastor Spencer's going away? May 21st at 6 o'clock right here at this campus. We're going to have a going away party. So we'd love for everyone to be here and love on them, bring them a gift, and let's send them off because they're excited about what God is doing, and we're excited for them. So we love you. Have a fantastic night, and we'll see you Sunday.